News Radio, Jared Loftner pleads guilty to charges related to the January 8th shooting rampage in Tucson that targeted Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Legal expert Royal Oak says his attorneys aren't in a big hurry.
The defense wants to put off the trial until possibly the year 2013 to give them plenty of time to amass evidence regarding his mental instability.
Dr. Nell Wagner testified in the manslaughter trial of James Ray today. She says it was a very hot ceremony back in 2009 where three died.
The time we were in there objectively was longer than what I felt it was.
Did it feel like while you were inside the sweat lodge that your ability to track time seemed to become impaired to some extent?
Yes.
Actor Steven Seagal, part of the Maricopa County Sheriff's Deputy's raid on a cockfighting operation in Levain.
I came in the 150 and we were to break down the gate. We broke down the gate.
He is one of the posse members, George Tanner, Arizona News.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by Caltrade. Alma School Road north of US 60 has a rollover accident. Also looking at the Pima right now, southbound side of things. Between 92nd Street and the Loop 202, you're going to find a lot of brake lights. And Maryland east of 59th Avenue has an injury accident involving a bicycle. Caltrade helps strengthen bones with 1,200 milligrams of calcium and 800 IU of vitamin D3. Women need Caltrade. Caltrade helps women keep moving because women move the world.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, it looks like we're going to dive right into the mid-80s tomorrow and Friday. Our warmest temperatures in quite a while. Then for your weekend, partly cloudy, a bit cooler. We'll call it 82. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we are sitting at 80 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes and winter breaks here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Hello, I'm Bruce Fabrizio, inventor of Simple Green, the finest non-toxic cleaner in the world. For more than 35 years, I have worked to establish truth in labeling laws. Many products misrepresent their safety and efficacy. I am so certain you will find that Simple Green does everything the label states safely that if you're not 100% satisfied, I will refund your purchase. For more information, go to simplegreen.com.
811 is the number you should call before you begin any digging project, even small jobs like planting trees or shrubs. Whether you're a homeowner or a professional excavator, one call to 811 gets underground utility lines marked for free. Utility lines can be buried in yards, under streets, alleys, and vacant land. If you hit an underground utility line, you can harm yourself or those around you, disrupt service to an entire neighborhood, and potentially be responsible for fines and repair costs. Know what's below. Call 811 before you dig. Brought to you by Southwest Gas.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchick.
Well, it's 4:06. It's Wednesday afternoon. This is Dennis Willinchick, and I'm from the law firm of Willinchick & Bartness, and you're listening to the Legalese program. What is Legalese, you may ask? Well, we try to make the law as easy as possible, basically, by answering any questions you may have about topics that are important to you. We're here to talk about the law in general and any current legal issues that are affecting all of us. And as I said, I'm here to answer your questions. If you have any questions, call in at 602-277-KFNX, 5369, 277-KFNX. And don't hesitate to call if you have any questions on any issues relating to the law. I've been a trial lawyer in Phoenix for some 33 years and may not have all the answers for all the questions you have, but certainly do my best to try to help you in any way I can. Our firm specializes in litigation, so if you have any questions directed in that area, we'll, again, be happy to hear from you. Well, what are some of the stories affecting us that have come out in the last week since we've last been together, last Wednesday? First story that I want to talk about and get any reaction to if you want to call up is relating to free speech. It's a big opinion by the Supreme Court of the United States, which ruled on Wednesday, as some of you may have heard, that the Westboro Baptist Church was protected by the First Amendment when it picketed the funeral of a Marine killed in Iraq with signs stating, "Thank God for dead soldiers. America's doomed. You're going to you-know-where." obviously you know where. This is, to me, a big story, and hopefully to you. I want to talk about some of the details of the story as we proceed, and again, get any reaction from any of you about it. In this case, the Westboro Baptist Church case, Mr. Albert Snyder sued the Westboro Church and its founder, Fred Phelps Sr., after they picketed his son's funeral. His son, Matthew, was a Marine who died in Iraq in March 2006. He was originally awarded $5 million by a jury, but the Supreme Court of the United States, again, overturned the verdict and said that the church members had the right to be where they were. This has caused a lot of controversy and has stirred up a lot of emotion, obviously. And it raises a lot of interesting legal issues, without getting overly technical on the show. It raises a lot of issues for all of us, really, as to, you know, where does free speech stop? Where does one's right to privacy begin? These are eternal questions, perhaps, and something that we don't intend to fully solve on this show, but certainly we intend for you to be thinking about these issues. And Justice Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, wrote in this opinion that the church apparently alerted local authorities to the funeral protest and complied with where the police told them the picketing could be staged, and that they conducted the picketing under police supervision some 1,000 feet from the church out of the sight of the people at the funeral, and there was no shouting, profanity, or violence. The court basically found, in the lengthy opinion that that followed, that there is a line, again, between issues relating to public's right to know, that is, issues relating to free speech that are of issues of common importance to all of us, essentially, versus private matters. And the court went on in great detail to try to distinguish some of those private versus public issues. The Westboro Church is an interesting phenomenon itself. It was founded in 1955. It has about 60 to 70 members is all, 50 of whom are related to the founder, Mr. Fred Phelps. And apparently they believe that military deaths are God's way of punishing the country for tolerating, according to them, homosexuality and immorality. And apparently they publicized their message by picketing various events. They picketed more than 600 funerals, many of them military funerals. This year the church promised to do so and then backed down from picketing the funeral of Christina Green, a little girl, 9-year-old girl, who was tragically killed in the Tucson shooting spree and assassination attempt on Congressman Giffords. We'll be talking about that case a little bit after the break. Anyway, the Westboro Baptist Church signs say things like, you know, the Pope is in hell, thank God for dead soldiers, and you get the message, things of that nature that to anyone would be offensive, I think. And the court acknowledged, basically, that these kinds of statements are offensive as part of its opinion, but nevertheless, again, held, ultimately, that the right of free speech trumped all those considerations. The Marine's family argued that the church did not have a right to free speech because of where it chose to exercise that right, you know, at a military funeral. But the court ruled that it didn't matter, and Justice Roberts said that speech cannot be muffled just because it is outrageous and distasteful to some, or most, or even nearly all people. He added in the opinion that the church was not personally attacking the Marine's family because it has been picketing funerals for the last 20 years. Interestingly, in the opinion of some note, Justice Samuel Alito was the only justice who disagreed with the ruling, which is kind of interesting to those who follow the court, because these days there's very little consensus on anything. This free speech issue apparently brought the conservatives and the liberals on the court together, but not Justice Alito. He said the church should have to pay the Marine's family the $5 million and uphold the verdict below. He said the church injured a private citizen and therefore should be held accountable. He wrote, Albert Snyder is not a public figure. He is simply a parent whose son, Marine Lance Corporal Matthew Snyder, was killed in Iraq. Mr. Snyder wanted to bury his son in peace, but members of the Westboro Baptist Church deprived him of that right. First, they issued a press release and turned Matthew's funeral into a media event. Then they appeared at the church, got as close as they could without trespassing, and launched a verbal attack on Matthew and his family at a time when they were emotionally vulnerable. As a result, Justice Alito wrote, the family suffered severe and lasting emotional injury. I cannot agree with the rest of the court, he wrote, that the First Amendment gives Westboro the right to brutalize Mr. Snyder. Allowing family members to have a few hours of peace without harassment does not undermine the public debate. Well, 44 states, including Maryland, where this incident happened, have recently adopted laws that prohibit picketing at funerals. I believe there may be a pending bill in the state legislature in Arizona to that effect. And in fact, it may have passed, if I recall, because of the potential picketing at the little girl, Christina Green's, funeral. These laws have been passed in most states in response to Westboro Church's activities or threatened activities. So this brings up the obvious question. What do you think about this? Does anyone there out there have any reaction to this kind of thing? Does the First Amendment right basically to free speech, which we all, of course, I think cherish, does it go so far as to trump other considerations of privacy? Does the public debate, as Justice Alito pointed out, really require this extent of a case to allow, as he referred to it, excuse me, a brutalization of someone who's grieving? I think this issue is fascinating. It's an issue that I think should concern us all. Where do we draw that line with the First Amendment? And interestingly, as I said, the conservative members of the court, apparently, who generally would probably side with Justice Alito, came out and distinguished or attempted to distinguish the issue of the public's right to know, public issues versus privacy issues. excuse me, the decision is extremely long and extremely complex, let me just say that, so we don't have the time today to go into all the details of it. But I think it's important that we open the debate and that we open our thoughts to whether or not in the future these kinds of issues should be resolved along these same lines. So, again, if somebody out there has any thoughts on that, I'm more than happy to take your call and discuss it. But I think it's an important issue. Well, we'll continue on with this and other stories, including the Loeffner trial. When we come back from a break, you're listening to Dennis Wilenchek on Legalese. Again, KFNX News Talk Radio. Talk soon.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Every day's a holiday in Healthy Habit Health Food Store, 6029 North 7th Street. Tune in to Healthy House Call discussing the latest breakthroughs of integrative medicine. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. and call with your questions, 602-266-1000. Discover world-class physicians, medical researchers, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and testimonials from our patients and consumers of natural products. Call 602-266-1000.
Hi folks, Jim Sewards here for Legends Cadillac in North Scottsdale with some great news. The new Cadillacs driven by the professional golfers at the Accentua Match Play are on sale and ready for delivery at Legends Cadillac. We received a great selection of CTS sedans and coupes in all colors and great option packages. But our best selection is the load of 2011 SRXs we got. Everyone fully loaded, all-wheel drive, front-wheel drive with package discounts that make this world-class automobile very, very affordable. Now, with this special factory package comes four Escalades equipped with the Signature Series. Now, this comes with custom wheels, chrome exhaust, custom grills, and all of them in the premium option package. Now, folks, this is a limited allotment, so don't wait. Come in and test drive these special event vehicles. Who knows? Maybe your golf game will even improve. Only at Legends Cadillac. It's like no place else in North Scottsdale or online at legendscadillac.com.
Well, we're back, and it's at 4:20. This is Dennis Wilenchek on the Legalese program. Again, if you want to call into the program, the number is 602-277-KFNX. That's 5369. And we're talking right now about the opinion on the Westboro Baptist Church case this week, handed down by the Supreme Court of the United States. And as we were discussing before the break, writing for the majority, Chief Justice Roberts had strong words for the church while defending its right to peaceful protest, ultimately ruling that it was okay for them to protest under the First Amendment rights that they have. And he wrote, Westboro believes that America is morally flawed. Many Americans, the justice wrote, might feel the same about Westboro. Westboro's funeral picketing is certainly hurtful, and its contribution to public discourse may be negligible. But Westboro addressed matters of public import on public property in a peaceful manner, in full compliance with the guidance of local officials. Speech is powerful, the majority opinion continued. It can stir people to action, move them to tears of both joy and sorrow, and as it did here, inflict great pain. On the facts before us, the court wrote, we cannot react to that pain by punishing the speaker. As a nation, we have chosen a different course to protect even hurtful speech on public issues to ensure that we do not stifle public debate. That choice requires that we shield Westboro, the court wrote, in the majority opinion, from tort liability for its picketing in this case. What do you think? Anyone out there have any strong opinion on that? I mean, the bottom line to this case is, again, that no matter how much the court or we dislike what Westboro apparently stands for, the majority, no doubt, abhors what Westboro is doing. It may be shocking to many people what Westboro is doing and calling it itself a church. But regardless, the First Amendment is so strong, according to the court, that, as I say, even the conservatives and the liberals could join on it and find that the First Amendment was that powerful regardless to make this ruling. Let's take a call from Tony from Phoenix and get his take on this. Tony?
Yeah, thank you, Dennis.
You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm really wondering where this is going to end up going, you know, with the Westboro Baptist Church. Is this going to, like, pump them up? Are they going to, you know, expand? Are they going to try to do even more than what they're doing?
Yeah.
To these families? You know, I mean, look, well, we're talking about constitutional rights here, the First Amendment. I mean, that's all understood.
Sure.
But it's how far do we take that?
I agree.
As far as expression goes. And I'm really wondering, are they really willing to push these families, whoever they may be, that are in misery? And some of these family members might be experiencing depression, anxiety, and all these things that are going on in their mind right now. They're going to push these family members that they're protesting against to break the law against the Westboro Baptist Church. Can you understand where I'm going with this?
Absolutely.
Because there's a pressure being put on these family members whom members of their family have died.
Yeah.
And now they're being...
victimized.
Victimized. I mean, and that's a nice way of saying
sure.
it. Okay? I mean, we have, you know, FCC rules here. I'm not going to go past that. But I'm really wondering, do they understand that laws are broken every day? Okay, you have rapes, you have murders, you have things like that. You got people doing things against the law. That they're placing themselves right in the apex of. If they keep doing this, people in these families are going to sit there and say, you know what, I have had enough, laws be damned. And they're going to do something.
Well, you know, you're absolutely
against the law.
Yeah, you raise some really great points that are absolutely, I think, just very, very disturbing. Let me read a couple of statements in that regard that the court wrote, okay? the free speech clause of the First Amendment, the court said this, can serve as a defense in state tort suits, including suits for intentional infliction of emotional distress. And guess what case they cite? Hustler Magazine versus Falwell. I'm sure you all remember that case, Jerry Falwell suing Hustler Magazine. Whether the First Amendment, the court said, prohibits holding Westboro liable for its speech in this case turns largely on whether that speech is of public or private concern, as determined by all the circumstances of the case. And I want to go on. The court said, quote, speech on public issues occupies the, quote, highest rung of the hierarchy of First Amendment values and is entitled to special protection. I think you expressed that we probably all agree with that. However, although the boundaries of what constitutes speech on matters of public concern, the court admitted, are not well defined, to say the least, this court has said that speech is of public concern when it can, quote, be fairly considered as relating to any matter of political, social, or other concern to the community, or when it is, quote, a subject of general interest and value and concern to the public. And finally, a statement's arguably inappropriate or controversial character is irrelevant to the question whether it deals with a matter of public concern. So what the court was saying, you know, in essence, as I said, it's a very long opinion, and we certainly can't read all of it or go through all of it, but it is worthy of concern. I've tried to distill it, that the court basically was saying, in other words, that, look, if this is a matter of public concern, which is not a well-defined area, the court admits, and not a private concern, and these kind of epithets and statements that are made on the placards the court held were things, that is the content of these things, highlighted issues of public import. Now, therefore, the court held that free speech would protect these things because they weren't directed personally at anyone. You know, I don't know about you. You know, it sounds like you probably agree that, is this really so? Are these statements really of public concern that are made with these kind of epithets on them that would clearly induce, as you say, any normal person who's in a grieving situation, a horrible situation, you know, son that's killed in the war, is it appropriate to even think of this as of public concern? To who?
Well, Dennis, I think you're bringing up a very good point, you know, and that's the appropriate, you know, terminology, okay? Now, we can, you know, talk about the statutes, and you can go all the way through it as far as the legalese goes, okay? But, I mean, let's face it. Who out there, like you said, who's in a stressed, a grieving situation, emotionally distraught state of mind, is really thinking about statutes of law when there are people out there protesting, having all the expletives, everything else up there that has nothing to do with your family member who died.
Right.
That's pushing you to the point of you lose control.
Well, and then you get to that point.
That's the real life of this. Okay?
Well, yeah, and you get to that point where, suppose that happened. Let's just take that as a hypothet. Suppose that one of these placards that supposedly is a public concern horribly offends one of the grieving family members who does something about it. Guess who gets arrested then? You know, the person who takes action against it and is provoked. And
right, but I mean, okay, let's go to that point, okay?
Sure.
The person who takes action against it, they're arrested and then they're tried. You as a juror, knowing what's going on right now with this whole bizarre scenario, okay, with the Westboro Baptist Church, cases like this have come up before about, you know, a father-son who was murdered, you know, raped, all that kind of stuff, and then he went and killed the murderer of his son. He went to court and he was acquitted. You have the same situation developing right now to where anybody who takes action against the Westboro Baptist Church, they're going to have to go up against a trial,
a jury.
You know, and then a jury of their peers. And then you have to ask yourself, would you find them guilty for doing what they normally would do or what you would normally do,
well,
given these circumstances?
Tony, that's a terrific question, really. Seriously, a great question to ask. Maybe others listening are asking that same question. These are, like I said, eternal questions that, unfortunately, none of us have clear answers for, nor does the Supreme Court. All right, I'm going to have to turn to another topic because we've got a lot of topics. I really appreciate your call. It was very helpful. Thank you very much. Well, the next area, and again, not to belittle the former area because all these are important issues, but we have to move on in limited time. But I think the Sweat Lodge trial, which is continuing, is another important area where it raises, again, a lot of moral legal issues. A lot of lines that are crossed between some of these concepts that may be disturbing to you as well. And I think that what we've got going on there right now, recently a volunteer at the self-help authors, Mr. Ray's Sweat Lodge ceremony, Jennifer Haley says that she was told to expect that participants would vomit, become delirious, and things might get crazy, but that was, quote, normal, and that she wasn't trained on how to do anything except cool people down, and she just winged the treatment of participants. We're going to have to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to be discussing this in other hot areas in the law right now. This is Dennis Wilenchek on KFNX.
IronDriveCoatings.com is offering 10% off right now for KFNX listeners. IronDriveCoatings.com, your valley-wide specialist for lifetime guaranteed epoxy and urethane coating of garages and driveways. Visit IronDriveCoatings.com or call 480-726-1891. Mention KFNX and receive a 10% discount off this beautiful lifetime guaranteed granite-like coating. Own a business? Ask about commercial application as well. That's 480-726-1891. IronDriveCoatings.com.
I'm Steve Malzberg. Catch my show streaming weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on 1100KFNX.com.
CNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall, the suspect in the Tucson shooting rampage in January that left 6 people dead and 13 wounded, including Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, pleaded not guilty today to dozens of new federal charges related to the massacre. CNN's Ted Rollins describes Jared Loughner's demeanor in court.
The same smile you saw in that mugshot. He had the smile as he walked in. He's got a lot more hair now, too, than you see in that mugshot. It's been growing out. And then on the way out, he smiling from ear to ear. And when the clerk asked if his name was Jared Lee Loughner, he said in a very cheery voice, "Yes, that's me."
A mental competency hearing has been scheduled for May 25th. The death penalty has been abolished in Illinois. Today, Governor Pat Quinn signed legislation banning capital punishment and commuting the sentences of all 15 of the state's remaining death row inmates. Actress Julianne Moore will play Sarah Palin in a new HBO movie. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio. Accused Tucson shooter Jared Loughner pleads not guilty to federal charges in connection with the January 8th shooting rampage that targeted Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Legal expert Royal Oak says prosecutors may seek the death penalty.
Citizens who were lined up to see their congressperson were involved in a federal activity, thus triggering the possibility of capital punishment.
Testimony from an Alaska doctor who said she heard someone saying, "I'm going to die," inside a 2009 sweat lodge near Sedona where 3 people died.
I don't remember what was said. "I'm going to die" was the most dramatic of the statements.
Federal agents seize over 11,000 pounds of marijuana in 2 tractor trailer shipments at Nogales.
It is a significant seizure, one of the biggest we've seen in quite a while.
Maricopa County Sheriff's deputies raid a suspected cockfighting operation in Levine.
This is a very complicated situation when you talk about this activity.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. Eastbound on the 10, west of 16th Street, you're going to find a collision involving a motorcycle. Also, 91st Avenue in Peoria has a fender bender. Southbound and westbound traffic stay to the left, and you're going to find some slow traffic, no surprise, on the Papago westbound side of things between the Stack and 51st Avenue. Get the keys to a Silverado All-Star Edition during Chevy Truck Month with a 315-horsepower Vortec 5.3-liter V8 engine today at your local Chevy dealer. From the KFNX Traffic Center, I'm Wayne Allen.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, it looks like we're going to dive right into the mid-80s tomorrow and Friday, our warmest temperatures in quite a while. Then for your weekend, partly cloudy, a bit cooler, we'll call it 82. Jim Howell, KFNX Newstalk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 80 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes, and when it breaks here on KFNX Newstalk Radio, 1100.
Arizona's largest RV sale of the year, March 17th through the 26th at Worldwide RV and Robert Christen Company RV. Get huge RV savings, free admission, free parking, and the chance to win $10,000. Hurry to Robert Christen Company RV and Worldwide RV on Main Street in Mesa.
Take part in the national conversation. Tune in to the Lou Dobbs Show. Weekdays at 5 p.m. only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 and streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
From Chandler to Troon, the Elton Realty family has served the entire valley for over 20 years. Short sales, foreclosures, luxury homes, family court-appointed special commissioners, whatever your real estate needs, we do it all. Flexible fees, if not completely satisfied, opt out anytime. Call us today, 480-451-3318, or visit eltonrealty.com. That's 480-451-3318. Elton Realty,
your real estate survival guides.
Poker players, come party with us at the J.D. Williamson Jr. Memorial Foundation's Poker Tournament and Casino Night on Friday, March 11th, 2011 at the Scottsdale Conference Resort. Great prizes. All donations are tax deductible. For more information or to register for this event, visit our website, jdw4mds.org, or call 602-703-5608. That's 602-703-5608, or go to jdw4mds.org.
At the Newman Eye Center, you'll be treated by one of the most experienced board-certified ophthalmologists in the valley, Bruce Newman, M.D. Visit the website newmanvision.com to read patient testimonials about LASIK, cataract procedures, and multifocal lenses. The Newman Eye Center at the 101 and Cape Creek Road also treats glaucoma, dry eyes, and performs cosmetic surgery. To learn more, call 602-788-8080. That's 602-788-8080. Or visit newmanvision.com. The Newman Eye Center accepts most insurance plans. Log on today, newmanvision.com.
Welcome back. This is Dennis Wilenchek, and this is KFNX. Our number here, 277-KFNX. That is 277-5369. We're here to talk about legal issues, current issues in the legal world. Most issues today seem to be having something to do with the law in one form or another. We were talking before the break, and we'll continue to talk now about this whole Sweat Lodge trial. You know, I guess my question to those of you out there that are listening is, are you buying this? Are you buying this defense so far of James Ray? Basically, the case boils down to an issue, as I see it, of free will and choice, as he's trying to portray it. Or does the pressure of someone like a Mr. Ray cause you to do things against your will? And this, again, raises a whole series of legal and moral questions. You know, is someone guilty like James Earl Ray, who exerts this kind of influence over people, apparently, classic definition legally of duress, substituting your will for that of another? Are these people under such a spell cast by him that causes them to do incredible things? Jennifer Haley, as we were saying before the break, and was on the news just now, says that she was told to expect that participants would vomit, become delirious, things might get crazy, but, quote, that was normal. She was not trained on how to do anything except cool people down, and she, quote, just winged the treatment of participants. When asked what the team was to do if people got sick, Haley responded, quote, let them throw up. There's water, give them water, rinse them off. She kept those who were delirious sitting, but neither James Ray nor his staff mentioned anything about what to do with participants who appeared to need medical intervention, she said, meaning no one there apparently was adequately trained to deal with persons who were sick. And this is just incredible stuff. She further testified that one of the victims was ashamed because she drank a glass of wine the night before the lodge ceremony, and that Ray had a policy of no drug or alcohol use. And she testified that absolutely had everything to do with her dying. The volunteers determined among themselves who would be stationed inside and outside the Sweat Lodge ceremony. Haley decided, she said, to stay outside because of her experience in a similar ceremony that Ray led in 2007, in which she struggled through the first four of the, quote, 12 rounds. Let's listen to a clip of her testimony and then talk about it.
I stayed four rounds, felt like I was going to die.
came out, fell on the ground, got hosed off, started screaming, crying.
When the ceremony was over, who was the first person out?
James Ray.
James Ray, the first person out. Now, James Ray, the first person out, pleaded not guilty to three counts of manslaughter stemming from the deaths of three people following the Sweat Lodge ceremony that I'm sure you are all familiar with at this point. And prosecutors, one of whom you just heard there on the clip, in Yavapai County must prove that Ray was aware of a substantial and unjustifiable risk of death and disregarded that for a jury to convict him of manslaughter. The prosecutors contend that Ray conditioned the participants to ignore these maybe obvious signs of distress and did nothing to help those struggling with the heat. So my question to those of you out there is, you know, is this a defense? Is this something that you, as members of the public, would buy if you were on the jury? Is it possible for someone to, again, substitute their will to the point where obvious signs to people becoming delirious, getting crazy, that they would actually believe these things to be normal because of Mr. Ray? How can someone exert that kind of pressure on somebody is the question. And apparently the defense attorneys are making that their defense, no doubt. Ray's attorneys have emphasized the personal choice during cross-examination of the state's witnesses, all of whom said Ray did not force any decision on them to take part in the week's events that culminated with the Sweat Lodge ceremony. Defense attorneys say the deaths were a tragic accident that Ray could not have foreseen. Now, again, the prosecutors are obviously trying to establish that he could have foreseen and that anyone could have foreseen these problems existing. But again, no prior deaths had occurred. And so the question on the fulcrum is this. Is this a valid defense? Is this something that you would buy if you were on the jury? It seems to me, this one person's opinion, that this is a very, very difficult issue. While at first glance it may appear obvious that Mr. Ray should have had significant assistance available to those persons in that kind of scenario and should have apparently foreseen that these kinds of conditions could certainly cause someone to have serious physical reaction and illness. But on the other hand, again, we deal with these kinds of issues in this program.
Radio, Jared Loftner pleads guilty to charges related to the January 8th shooting rampage in Tucson that targeted Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Legal expert Royal Oak says his attorneys aren't in a big hurry.
The defense wants to put off the trial until possibly the year 2013 to give them plenty of time to amass evidence regarding his mental instability.
Dr. Nell Wagner testified in the manslaughter trial of James Ray today. She says it was a very hot ceremony back in 2009 where three died.
The time we were in there objectively was longer than what I felt it was.
Did it feel like, while you were inside the Sweat Lodge, that your ability to track time seemed to become impaired to some extent?
Yes.
Actor Steven Seagal, part of Maricopa County Sheriff's deputies' raid on a cockfighting operation in Levine.
I came in the 150 and we were to break down the gate. We broke down the gate.
He is one of the posse members, George Tanner, Arizona News.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by Caltrade. Alma School Road north of US 60 has a rollover accident. Also looking at the Pima right now, southbound side of things. Between 92nd Street and the Loop 202, you're going to find a lot of brake lights. And Maryland east of 59th Avenue has an injury accident involving a bicycle. Caltrade helps strengthen bones with 1,200 milligrams of calcium and 800 IU of vitamin D3. Women need Caltrade. Caltrade helps women keep moving because women move the world.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, it looks like we're going to dive right into the mid-80s tomorrow and Friday, our warmest temperatures in quite a while. Then for your weekend, partly cloudy, a bit cooler. We'll call it 82. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 80 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes, and winter breaks here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Hello, I'm Bruce Fabrizio, inventor of Simple Green, the finest non-toxic cleaner in the world. For more than 35 years, I have worked to establish truth in labeling laws. Many products misrepresent their safety and efficacy. I am so certain you will find that Simple Green does everything the label states safely that if you're not 100% satisfied, I will refund your purchase. For more information, go to simplegreen.com.
811 is the number you should call before you begin any digging project, even small jobs like planting trees or shrubs. Whether you're a homeowner or a professional excavator, one call to 811 gets underground utility lines marked for free. Utility lines can be buried in yards, under streets, alleys, and vacant land. If you hit an underground utility line, you can harm yourself or those around you, disrupt service to an entire neighborhood, and potentially be responsible for fines and repair costs. Know what's below. Call 811 before you dig. Brought to you by Southwest Gas.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchick.
Well, it's 4:06. It's Wednesday afternoon. This is Dennis Willinchick, and I'm from the law firm of Willinchick & Bartness, and you're listening to the Legalese program. What is Legalese, you may ask? Well, we try to make the law as easy as possible, basically, by answering any questions you may have about topics that are important to you. We're here to talk about the law in general and any current legal issues that are affecting all of us. And as I said, I'm here to answer your questions. If you have any questions, call in at 602-277-KFNX, 5369, 277-KFNX. And don't hesitate to call if you have any questions on any issues relating to the law. I've been a trial lawyer in Phoenix for some 33 years and may not have all the answers for all the questions you have, but certainly do my best to try to help you in any way I can. Our firm specializes in litigation, so if you have any questions directed in that area, we'll, again, be happy to hear from you. Well, what are some of the stories affecting us that have come out in the last week since we've last been together, last Wednesday? First story that I want to talk about and get any reaction to if you want to call up is relating to free speech. It's a big opinion by the Supreme Court of the United States, which ruled on Wednesday, as some of you may have heard, that the Westboro Baptist Church was protected by the First Amendment when it picketed the funeral of a Marine killed in Iraq with signs stating, "Thank God for dead soldiers. America's doomed. You're going to you-know-where." Obviously, you know where. This is, to me, a big story, and hopefully to you. I want to talk about some of the details of the story as we proceed and, again, get any reaction from any of you about it. In this case, the Westboro Baptist Church case, Mr. Albert Snyder sued the Westboro Church and its founder, Fred Phelps Sr., after they picketed his son's funeral. His son, Matthew, was a Marine who died in Iraq in March 2006. He was originally awarded $5 million by a jury, but the Supreme Court of the United States, again, overturned the verdict and said that the church members had the right to be where they were. This has caused a lot of controversy and has stirred up a lot of emotion, obviously. And it raises a lot of interesting legal issues without getting overly technical on the show. It raises a lot of issues for all of us, really, as to, you know, where does free speech stop? Where does one's right to privacy begin? These are eternal questions, perhaps, and something that we don't intend to fully solve on this show, but certainly we intend for you to be thinking about these issues. And Justice Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, wrote in this opinion that the church apparently alerted local authorities to the funeral protest and complied with where the police told them the picketing could be staged, and that they conducted the picketing under police supervision some 1,000 feet from the church out of the sight of the people at the funeral, and there was no shouting, profanity, or violence. The court basically found, in the lengthy opinion that that followed, that there is a line, again, between issues relating to public's right to know, that is, issues relating to free speech that are of issues of common importance to all of us, essentially, versus private matters. And the court went on in great detail to try to distinguish some of those private versus public issues. The Westboro Church is an interesting phenomenon itself. It was founded in 1955. It has about 60 to 70 members is all. 50 of whom are related to the founder, Mr. Fred Phelps. And apparently they believe that military deaths are God's way of punishing the country for tolerating, according to them, homosexuality and immorality. And apparently they publicized their message by picketing various events. They picketed more than 600 funerals, many of them military funerals. This year the church promised to do so and then backed down from picketing the funeral of Christina Green, a little girl, 9-year-old girl, who was tragically killed in the Tucson shooting spree and assassination attempt on Congressman Giffords. We'll be talking about that case a little bit after the break. Anyway, the Westboro Baptist Church signs say things like, the Pope is in hell, thank God for dead soldiers, and you get the message. Things of that nature that to anyone would be offensive, I think. And the court acknowledged, basically, that these kinds of statements are offensive as part of its opinion, but nevertheless, again, held, ultimately, that the right of free speech trumped all those considerations. The Marine's family argued that the church did not have a right to free speech because of where it chose to exercise that right, at a military funeral. But the court ruled that it didn't matter, and Justice Roberts said that speech cannot be muffled just because it is outrageous and distasteful to some, or most, or even nearly all people. He added in the opinion that the church was not personally attacking the Marine's family because it has been picketing funerals for the last 20 years. Interestingly, in the opinion of some note, Justice Samuel Alito was the only justice who disagreed with the ruling, which is kind of interesting to those who follow the court, because these days there's very little consensus on anything. This free speech issue apparently brought the conservatives and the liberals on the court together, but not Justice Alito. He said the church should have to pay the Marine's family the $5 million and uphold the verdict below. He said the church injured a private citizen and therefore should be held accountable. He wrote, Albert Snyder is not a public figure. He is simply a parent whose son, Marine Lance Corporal Matthew Snyder, was killed in Iraq. Mr. Snyder wanted to bury his son in peace, but members of the Westboro Baptist Church deprived him of that right. First, they issued a press release and turned Matthew's funeral into a media event. Then they appeared at the church, got as close as they could without trespassing, and launched a verbal attack on Matthew and his family at a time when they were emotionally vulnerable. As a result, Justice Alito wrote, the family suffered severe and lasting emotional injury. I cannot agree with the rest of the court, he wrote, that the First Amendment gives Westboro the right to brutalize Mr. Snyder. Allowing family members to have a few hours of peace without harassment does not undermine the public debate. Well, 44 states, including Maryland, where this incident happened, have recently adopted laws that prohibit picketing at funerals. I believe there may be a pending bill in the state legislature in Arizona to that effect. And in fact, it may have passed, if I recall, because of the potential picketing at the little girl, Christina Green's, funeral. These laws have been passed in most states in response to Westboro Church's activities or threatened activities. So this brings up the obvious question. What do you think about this? Does anyone there out there have any reaction to this kind of thing? Does the First Amendment right basically to free speech, which we all, of course, I think cherish, does it go so far as to trump other considerations of privacy? Does the public debate, as Justice Alito pointed out, really require this extent of a case to allow, as he referred to it, a brutalization of someone who's grieving? I think this issue is fascinating. It's an issue that I think should concern us all. Where do we draw that line with the First Amendment? And interestingly, as I said, the conservative members of the court, apparently, who generally would probably side with Justice Alito, came out and distinguished or attempted to distinguish the issue of the public's right to know, public issues versus privacy issues. The decision is extremely long and extremely complex. Let me just say that. So we don't have the time today to go into all the details of it. But I think it's important that we open the debate. and that we open our thoughts to whether or not in the future these kinds of issues should be resolved along these same lines. So, again, if somebody out there has any thoughts on that, I'm more than happy to take your call and discuss it. But I think it's an important issue. Well, we'll continue on with this and other stories, including the Loeffner trial. When we come back from a break, you're listening to Dennis Wilenchek on Legalese. Again, KFNX News Talk Radio. Talk soon.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Every day's a holiday in Healthy Habit Health Food Store, 6029 North 7th Street. Tune in to Healthy House Call discussing the latest breakthroughs of integrative medicine. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. and call with your questions, 602-266-1000. Discover world-class physicians, medical researchers, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and testimonials from our patients and consumers of natural products. Call 602-266-1000.
Hi folks, Jim Sewards here for Legends Cadillac in North Scottsdale with some great news. The new Cadillacs driven by the professional golfers at the Accentua Match Play are on sale and ready for delivery at Legends Cadillac. We received a great selection of CTS sedans and coupes in all colors and great option packages. But our best selection is the load of 2011 SRXs we got. Everyone fully loaded, all-wheel drive, front-wheel drive with package discounts that make this world-class automobile very, very affordable. Now, with this special factory package comes four Escalades equipped with the Signature Series. Now, this comes with custom wheels, chrome exhaust, custom grills, and all of them in the premium option package. Now, folks, this is a limited allotment, so don't wait. Come in and test drive these special event vehicles. Who knows? Maybe your golf game will even improve. Only at Legends Cadillac. It's like no place else in North Scottsdale or online at legendscadillac.com.
Well, we're back, and it's at 4:20. This is Dennis Wilenchek on the Legalese program. Again, if you want to call into the program, the number is 602-277-277. KFNX, that's 5369. And we're talking right now about the opinion on the Westboro Baptist Church case this week, handed down by the Supreme Court of the United States. And as we were discussing before the break, writing for the majority, Chief Justice Roberts had strong words for the church while defending its right to peaceful protest, ultimately ruling that it was okay for them to protest under the First Amendment rights that they have. And he wrote, Westboro believes that America is morally flawed. Many Americans, the justice wrote, might feel the same about Westboro. Westboro's funeral picketing is certainly hurtful, and its contribution to public discourse may be negligible. But Westboro addressed matters of public import on public property in a peaceful manner, in full compliance with the guidance of local officials. Speech is powerful, the majority opinion continued. It can stir people to action, move them to tears of both joy and sorrow, and as it did here, inflict great pain. On the facts before us, the court wrote, we cannot react to that pain by punishing the speaker. As a nation, we have chosen a different course, to protect even hurtful speech on public issues to ensure that we do not stifle public debate. That choice requires that we shield Westboro, the court wrote, in the majority opinion, from tort liability for its picketing in this case. What do you think? Anyone out there have any strong opinion on that? I mean, the bottom line to this case is, again, that no matter how much the court or we dislike what Westboro apparently stands for, the majority, no doubt, abhors what Westboro is doing. It may be shocking to many people what Westboro is doing and calling it itself a church. But regardless, the First Amendment is so strong, according to the court, that, as I say, even the conservatives and the liberals could join on it and find that the First Amendment was that powerful, regardless, to make this ruling. Let's take a call from Tony from Phoenix and get his take on this. Tony?
Yeah, thank you, Dennis.
You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm really wondering where this is going to end up going, you know, with the Westboro Baptist Church. Is this going to, like, pump them up? Or are they going to, you know, expand? Are they going to try to do even more than what they're doing?
Yeah.
To these families? You know, I mean, look, well, we're talking about constitutional rights here, the First Amendment. I mean, that's all understood.
Sure.
But it's how far do we take that?
I agree.
As far as expression goes. And I'm really wondering, are they really willing to push these families, whoever they may be, that are in misery? And some of these family members might be experiencing depression, anxiety, and all these things that are going on in their mind right now. They're going to push these family members that they're protesting against to break the law against the Westboro Baptist Church. Can you understand where I'm going with this?
Absolutely.
Because there's a pressure being put on these family members whom members of their family have died.
Yeah.
And now they're being...
victimized.
Victimized. I mean, and that's a nice way of saying
sure.
it.
Sure.
Okay? I mean, we have you know, FCC rules here. I'm not going to go past that. But I'm really wondering, do they understand that laws are broken every day? Okay, you have rapes, you have murders, you have things like that. You got people doing things against the law. That they're placing themselves right in the apex of. If they keep doing this, people in these families are going to sit there and say, you know what, I have had enough, laws be damned. And they're going to do something.
Well, you know, you're absolutely.
That's against the law.
Yeah, you raise some really great points that are absolutely, I think, just very, very disturbing. Let me read a couple of statements in that regard that the court wrote, okay? The free speech clause of the First Amendment, the court said this, can serve as a defense in state tort suits, including suits for intentional infliction of emotional distress. And guess what case they cite? Hustler Magazine versus Falwell. I'm sure you all remember that case, jury. Falwell suing Hustler Magazine. Whether the First Amendment, the court said, prohibits holding Westboro liable for its speech in this case turns largely on whether that speech is of public or private concern as determined by all the circumstances of the case. And I want to go on. The court said, quote, speech on public issues occupies the, quote, highest rung of the hierarchy of First Amendment values and is entitled to special protection. I think you expressed that we probably all agree with that. However, although the boundaries of what constitutes speech on matters of public concern, the court admitted, are not well defined, to say the least, this court has said that speech is of public concern when it can, quote, be fairly considered as relating to any matter of political, social, or other concern to the community, or when it is, quote, a subject of general interest and value and concern to the public. And finally, a statement's arguably inappropriate or controversial character is irrelevant to the question whether it deals with a matter of public concern. So what the court was saying, you know, in essence, as I said, it's a very long opinion, and we certainly can't read all of it or go through all of it, but it is worthy of concern. I've tried to distill it, that the court basically was saying, in other words, that, look, if this is a matter of public concern, which is not a well-defined area, the court admits, and not a private concern, and these kind of epithets and statements that are made on the placards the court held were things, that is the content of these things, highlighted issues of public import. Now, therefore, the court held that free speech would protect these things because they weren't directed personally at anyone. You know, I don't know about you. You know, it sounds like you probably agree that is this really so? Are these statements really of public concern that are made with these kind of epithets on them that would clearly induce, as you say, any normal person who's in a grieving situation, a horrible situation, you know, son that's killed in the war, is it appropriate to even think of this as a public concern? To who?
Well, Dennis, I think you're bringing up a very good point, you know, and that's the appropriate, you know, terminology, okay? Now, we can, you know, talk about the statutes, and you can go all the way through it as far as the legalese goes, okay? But, I mean, let's face it. Who out there, like you said, who's in a stressed, a grieving situation, emotionally distraught state of mind, is really thinking about statutes of law when there are people out there protesting, having all the expletives, everything else up there that has nothing to do with your family member who died?
Right.
That's pushing you to the point of you lose control.
Well, and then you get to that point.
That's the real life of this. Okay?
Well, yeah, and you get to that point where suppose that happened. Let's just take that as a hypothet. Suppose that one of these placards that supposedly is a public concern horribly offends one of the grieving family members who does something about it. Guess who gets arrested then? You know, the person who takes action against it and is provoked. And
right, but I mean, okay, let's go to that point, okay?
Sure.
The person who takes action against it, they're arrested and then they're tried. You as a juror, knowing what's going on right now with this whole bizarre scenario, okay, with the Westboro Baptist Church, cases like this have come up before about, you know, a father-son who was murdered, you know, raped, all that kind of stuff, and then he went and killed the murderer of his son. He went to court, and he was acquitted. You have the same situation developing right now to where anybody who takes action against the Westboro Baptist Church, they're going to have to go up against a trial, a jury. You know, and then a jury of their peers. Then you have to ask yourself, would you find them guilty for doing what they normally would do or what you would normally do,
well,
given these circumstances?
Tony, that's a terrific question, really. Seriously, a great question to ask. Maybe others listening are asking that same question. These are, like I said, eternal questions that, unfortunately, none of us have clear answers for, nor does the Supreme Court. All right, I'm going to have to turn to another topic because we've got a lot of topics. I really appreciate
your
call. It was very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, the next area, and again, not to belittle the former area because all these are important issues, but we have to move on in limited time. But I think the Sweat Lodge trial, which is continuing, is another important area where it raises, again, a lot of moral legal issues. And a lot of lines that are crossed between some of these concepts that may be disturbing to you as well. And I think that what we've got going on there right now, recently, a volunteer at the self-help authors, Mr. Ray's Sweat Lodge ceremony, Jennifer Haley says that she was told to expect that participants would vomit, become delirious, and things might get crazy, but that was, quote, normal, and that she wasn't trained on how to do anything except cool people down, and she just winged the treatment of participants. We're going to have to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to be discussing this in other hot areas in the law right now. This is Dennis Wilenchek on KFNX.
IronDriveCoatings.com is offering 10% off right now for KFNX listeners. IronDriveCoatings.com, your valley-wide specialist for lifetime guaranteed epoxy and urethane coating of garages and driveways. Visit IronDriveCoatings.com or call 480-726-1891. Mention KFNX and receive a 10% discount off this beautiful lifetime guaranteed granite-like coating. Own a business? Ask about commercial application as well. That's 480-726-1891. IronDriveCoatings.com.
I'm Steve Malzberg. Catch my show streaming weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on 1100KFNX.com.
CNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall. The suspect in the Tucson shooting rampage in January that left 6 people dead and 13 wounded, including Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, pleaded not guilty today to dozens of new federal charges related to the massacre. CNN's Ted Rollins describes Jared Loughner's demeanor in court.
The same smile you saw in that mugshot. He had the smile as he walked in. He's got a lot more hair now, too, than you see in that mugshot. It's been growing out. And then on the way out, he smiling from ear to ear. And when the clerk asked if his name was Jared Lee Loughner, he said in a very cheery voice, "Yes, that's me."
A mental competency hearing has been scheduled for May 25th. The death penalty has been abolished in Illinois. Today, Governor Pat Quinn signed legislation banning capital punishment and commuting the sentences of all 15 of the state's remaining death row inmates. Actress Julianne Moore will play Sarah Palin in a new HBO movie. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio: accused Tucson shooter Jared Loughner pleads not guilty to federal charges in connection with the January 8th shooting rampage that targeted Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Legal expert Royal Oak says prosecutors may seek the death penalty.
Citizens who were lined up to see their congressperson were involved in a federal activity, thus triggering the possibility of capital punishment.
Testimony from an Alaska doctor who said she heard someone saying, "I'm going to die," inside a 2009 sweat lodge near Sedona where 3 people died.
I don't remember what was said. "I'm going to die" was the most dramatic of the statements.
Federal agents seized over 11,000 pounds of marijuana in 2 tractor trailer shipments at Nogales.
It is a significant seizure, one of the biggest we've seen in quite a while.
Maricopa County Sheriff's deputies raid a suspected cockfighting operation in Levine.
This is a very complicated situation when you talk about this activity.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. Eastbound on the 10, west of 16th Street, you're going to find a collision involving a motorcycle. Also, 91st Avenue in Peoria has a fender bender. Southbound and westbound traffic stay to the left, and you're going to find some slow traffic, no surprise, on the Papago westbound side of things between the Stack and 51st Avenue. Get the keys to a Silverado All-Star Edition during Chevy Truck Month with a 315-horsepower Vortec 5.3-liter V8 engine today at your local Chevy dealer. From the KFNX Traffic Center, I'm Wayne Allen.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, it looks like we're going to dive right into the mid-80s tomorrow and Friday. Our warmest temperatures in quite a while. Then for your weekend, partly cloudy, a bit cooler. We'll call it 82. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 80 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Arizona's largest RV sale of the year, March 17th through the 26th at Worldwide RV and Robert Christen Company RV. Get huge RV savings, free admission, free parking, and a chance to win $10,000. Hurry to Robert Christen Company RV and Worldwide RV on Main Street in Mesa.
Take part in the national conversation. Tune in to the Lou Dobbs Show. Weekdays at 5 p.m. only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 and streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
From Chandler to Troon, the Elton Realty family has served the entire valley for over 20 years. Short sales, foreclosures, luxury homes, family court-appointed special commissioners, whatever your real estate needs, we do it all. Flexible fees, if not completely satisfied, opt out anytime. Call us today, 480-451-3318, or visit eltonrealty.com. That's 480-451-3318. Elton Realty,
your real estate survival guides.
Poker players, come party with us at the J.D. Williamson Jr. Memorial Foundation's Poker Tournament and Casino Night on Friday, March 11th, 2011 at the Scottsdale Conference Resort. Great prizes. All donations are tax deductible. For more information or to register for this event, visit our website, jdw4mds.org, or call 602-703-5608. That's 602-703-5608, or go to jdw4mds.org.
At the Newman Eye Center, you'll be treated by one of the most experienced board-certified ophthalmologists in the valley, Bruce Newman, M.D. Visit the website, newmanvision.com, to read patient testimonials about LASIK, cataract procedures, and multifocal lenses. The Newman Eye Center at the 101 and Cape Creek Road also treats glaucoma, dry eyes, and performs cosmetic surgery. To learn more, call 602-788-8080. That's 602-788-8080. Or visit newmanvision.com. The Newman Eye Center accepts most insurance plans. Log on today, newmanvision.com.
Welcome back. This is Dennis Wilenchek, and this is KFNX. Our number here, 277-KFNX. That is 277-5369. We're here to talk about legal issues, current issues in the legal world. Most issues today seem to be having something to do with the law in one form or another. We were talking before the break, and we'll continue to talk now about this whole Sweat Lodge trial. You know, I guess my question to those of you out there that are listening is, are you buying this? Are you buying this defense so far of James Ray? Basically, the case boils down to an issue, as I see it, of free will and choice, as he's trying to portray it. Or does the pressure of someone like a Mr. Ray cause you to do things against your will? And this, again, raises a whole series of legal and moral questions. You know, is someone guilty like James or Ray who exerts this kind of influence over people, apparently? Classic definition legally of duress, substituting your will for that of another. Are these people under such a spell cast by him that causes them to do incredible things? Jennifer Haley, as we were saying before the break, and was on the news just now, says that she was told to expect that participants would vomit, become delirious, things might get crazy, but, quote, that was normal. She was not trained on how to do anything except cool people down, and she, quote, just winged the treatment of participants. When asked what the team was to do if people got sick, Haley responded, quote, let them throw up. There's water, give them water, rinse them off. She kept those who were delirious sitting, but neither James Ray nor his staff mentioned anything about what to do with participants who appeared to need medical intervention, she said, meaning no one there apparently was adequately trained to deal with persons who were sick. And this is just incredible stuff. She further testified that one of the victims was ashamed because she drank a glass of wine the night before the lodge ceremony, and that Ray had a policy of no drug or alcohol use. And she testified that absolutely had everything to do with her dying. The volunteers determined among themselves who would be stationed inside and outside the Sweat Lodge ceremony. Haley decided, she said, to stay outside because of her experience in a similar ceremony that Ray led in 2007, in which she struggled through the first four of the, quote, 12 rounds. Let's listen to a clip of her testimony and then talk about it.
I stayed four rounds, felt like I was going to die, came out, fell on the ground, got hosed off, started screaming, crying.
When the ceremony was over, who was the first person out?
James Ray.
James Ray, the first person out. Now, James Ray, the first person out, pleaded not guilty to three counts of manslaughter stemming from the deaths of three people following the Sweat Lodge ceremony that I'm sure you are all familiar with at this point. And prosecutors, one of whom you just heard there on the clip, in Yavapai County must prove that Ray was aware of a substantial and unjustifiable risk of death and disregarded that for a jury to convict him of manslaughter. The prosecutors contend that Ray conditioned the participants to ignore these maybe obvious signs of distress and did nothing to help those struggling with the heat. So my question to those of you out there is, you know, is this a defense? Is this something that you, as members of the public, would buy if you were on the jury? Is it possible for someone to, again, substitute their will to the point where obvious signs to people becoming delirious, getting crazy, that they would actually believe these things to be normal because of Mr. Ray? How can someone exert that kind of pressure on somebody is the question. And apparently the defense attorneys are making that their defense, no doubt. Ray's attorneys have emphasized the personal choice during cross-examination of the state's witnesses, all of whom said Ray did not force any decision on them to take part in the week's events that culminated with the Sweat Lodge ceremony. Defense attorneys say the deaths were a tragic accident that Ray could not have foreseen. Now, again, prosecutors obviously trying to establish that he could have foreseen and that anyone could have foreseen these problems existing. But again, no prior deaths had occurred. And so the question on the fulcrum is this. Is this a valid defense? Is this something that you would buy if you were on the jury? It seems to me, this one person's opinion, that this is a very, very difficult issue. While at first glance it may appear obvious that Mr. Ray should have had significant assistance available to those persons in that kind of scenario and should have apparently foreseen that these kinds of conditions could certainly cause someone to have serious physical reaction and illness. But on the other hand, again, we deal with these kinds of issues in this program. Is this something that is a personal choice that not only Mr. Ray could foresee, but that the individuals could foresee at any time and simply leave? And were they prevented from leaving in some way? And if they weren't physically prevented, were they mentally prevented by peer pressure and by Mr. Ray perhaps belittling them or calling them names or something of that nature? And is that enough? Is that enough to prevent someone from taking care of themselves in a situation where they know that their health is in danger? These are really fascinating questions to me. The defense attorney, one of them, honed in on these issues during cross-examination, saying Ray did not intervene in the decisions by the volunteers. He didn't veto or overrule that decision, was the question. He let you choose, was the question. And, of course, that's the issue we're talking about. Is that enough? Is that a defense? And would you buy it? So if any of you have any thoughts on that one, I'd sure like to hear from the court of public opinion as to what all of you think in terms of that distinction between personal choice and peer pressure, free will, versus the pressure of someone in the position of James Ray, who couldn't prevent someone from leaving, but probably could make them feel like if they had left, they had violated some kind of a trust with his teachings or whatever. So that's what's going on in that trial. And again, our number here is 277-KFNX, 277-5369, if you have any thoughts on that and want to weigh in on it. Well, of course, the next thing that's going on right now that we all are aware of and have heard on the news incessantly is the federal grand jury proceedings in Tucson. New charges being filed against Jared Lee Loeffner that charges him now with 49 crimes. I guess the issue here is we've all heard the news stories, and I won't repeat a lot of it. The tragedy that occurred is obvious and all over the news every day. No sense of me repeating a lot of that. But I guess what troubles me here and has to trouble some of you out there is why is this trial going on, you may ask?